This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Between the perpetual nor'easters, the nights of sheer black ice, and the growing range of frost heaves, this has been the kind of winter that makes you put a lot of faith in your vehicle. Even more so if you're regularly carting around a pack of kids. Jamie Page Deaton is managing editor at U.S. News Best Cars, which just released its list of the 2014 Best Cars for Families. And she joins us now to share it with all of us who are dreaming of a smoother springtime drive. Jamie, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Are families looking for anything different now that they have before? You know, more safety, more space, what?
I think, you know, safety and space are the two big things families are looking for. Because first of all, space. As a parent, you can really preempt a lot of battles before they happen if everybody has enough room to get along. Nobody likes to be crowded, even little kids. And then safety, I mean, these are your kids. They're precious cargo. And you want to have as much safety, or families are looking for safety features that'll really help prevent accidents as well as help them survive it. And when we're talking about safety features, I'm not just talking about safety features for the big catastrophic accidents on the highway.
Right, the airbags.
I'm talking about safety features that are as simple as, you know, a backup camera to keep you from backing over a toy or, God forbid, a child in the driveway or at the parking lot at daycare. Things like that really make a huge difference and can make a family's life a lot easier.
Uh-huh. Is the era of the soccer mom minivan still kicking, or do families tend to go for SUVs nowadays?
Well, the minivan, not so much anymore. Most families are looking for SUVs, which, to be honest, you know, they're not the SUVs of yore. These are not truck-based vehicles. These are what we call crossovers, in that they have the space of an SUV, but they ride on car platforms, so they're a lot easier to drive, a lot more comfortable. And honestly, to me, they're basically restyled minivans, because inside they have the space and the features that minivans have, but, you know, you're in a little bit more of a stylish package.
Well, what kind of bells and whistles and style are new car companies scheming up now?
Oh my gosh, you name it, it's in new cars. You were talking about rear seat DVD entertainment systems, in-car Wi-Fi hotspots, so everybody can be, you know, on their tablet or their mobile device as you're driving along. You're talking about satellite TV in cars, so
wow,
kids won't have to miss an episode of SpongeBob or Dora. And then you're also talking about stuff to keep parents happy and connected. Systems that will read incoming text messages to you and allow you to respond by voice command. Similar systems which will allow you to update your Google Calendar from your car and get emails. So it's really, you know, it's about being connected not only to your kids, but also to the other things going on in your life while you're driving your kids around.
Well, so Jamie, you're a mother and another one on the way. Congratulations. Does that mean that you're rating these cars in a whole different way than you used to before?
Absolutely. Before I became a mom, I was always looking at performance first and foremost. Right after that was style. Now I'm sort of, whenever I'm rating a car, I'm always thinking, does this make my life easier? How hard is it to get the car seat in and out of this car? Can I lift my daughter in, or do I have to like bend down, and is it going to hurt my back if I do it 3 and 4 times a day? Is there enough space for everything we need to take with us? It has totally changed the way I look at cars. Now, the performance and the style is still important to me, but just adding in all these extra things to think about, and that's what families have to do.
Well, now I know that you, for your job, you test drive a lot of cars. You don't test drive with the kids in the car, do you?
Oh, absolutely. That's the way people use the car, so that's the way I'm going to test them. And honestly, you know, having my daughter and then the next one on the way has really added a whole new dimension to how I test the cars, because now I can understand why families would really want some of those features on a very visceral level. For example, you know, the Honda Odyssey, which is our best minivan for families this year, has a new in-car vacuum cleaner that's available. And at first I sort of thought, just don't let your kids eat in the car. That would be sort of the pre-parent me answer. But I actually had a test Odyssey a couple of weeks ago. We were on a road trip and my daughter got sick all over the back of the car. Now, if we were in our personal car, which is just a station wagon, we would have been in terrible trouble. But with the Odyssey, we flipped the third row seats down so there was a big area to go and change her without taking her outside in the cold. That vacuum cleaned the entire mess up. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, I know why people buy minivans. I understand it now.
Okay, the Honda Odyssey in first. What were some of the other honorable cars?
Some of the other honorable cars. And the thing with these awards is they cover 19 different automotive categories. So whatever stage of family life you're in, you know, whether you have a two-year-old and a baby on the way like me, or if you've got teenagers and maybe grandparents moving in, there's a car that's going to work for you. Actually, Mazda, in a surprise, won the most awards. They won four different awards categories, with the Mazda 3 winning Best Compact Car for Families and Best Hatchback for Families. And again, this is sort of surprising for Mazda because they're known more for performance than family-friendly stuff. But because Mazda has started adding a lot of advanced safety features like forward collision warning, lane departure warning, and those types of things, which are actually sort of pushing cars towards a more autonomous driving experience, those are very helpful for families. And so that's what helped push them over the edge. Plus, I mean, honestly, once I drop the kids off at daycare, I want to have a little fun while I'm driving, and a Mazda's great for that. Other ones, if you're looking for something more upscale, the Cadillac CTS, which is our best luxury large car for families. This is a great one because parents can use it for date night and not feel like it's, you know, going for a date in a Honda Odyssey is not the most romantic thing, despite what Honda marketing would have you believe. But if you go in the CTS, you know, you've got a really nice upscale car, a lot of entertainment options, and the backseat's big enough for older kids if they need to spread out. Plus, it's also fun to drive. So it really is sort of a total package that keeps parents and kids happy.
When we spoke in your pre-mother self, you were looking for a car. What would you be looking for now? And we haven't really mentioned economy.
Economy. Well, but the one thing that these awards actually don't take into account is price, although most of these cars can be had, you know, with fewer features and you still get all the great safety and things like that. What we actually ended up doing, I was looking for a car, ended up not buying one until after my daughter came.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, that
changed. A lot more information.
We ended up getting a 2006 BMW 5 Series wagon, which is great because, and I always recommend station wagons for people if you don't have a whole lot of kids, you know, more than two kids. If you can get by with a wagon, get by with a wagon because they get better fuel economy and they're more fun to drive than a lot of SUVs. Now that we've been parents for 2 years, another one on the way, my husband's actually agitating for an SUV. He's sort of saying, oh, we don't have the space that we need inside the car. And he sort of has a point. I'm only 5'3", he's 6'1", which means that when there are car seats in the back, the front seats have to be moved up a little bit. So he gets a little bit more cramped than I do. But, you know, economy is important and you know, it's a lot cheaper to buy smaller car seats than it is to buy a bigger car. So that's probably the way we'll end up going.
Well, I have you here just very curious about how you car watchers and people in the automotive industry are reacting to this news about GM possibly concealing information about faulty ignition switches.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, it's certainly disappointing, I think, to think that a major car manufacturer could be putting people's lives at risk because there have been deaths associated with this possible malfunction. But then again, you've got to remember this is the industry that had, you know, the Ford Pinto, where the company was looking out for their bottom line first. You know, General Motors is a company that has shareholders that they have to answer to. And so profits need, from that perspective, I'm not saying it's the right perspective, but from that perspective, you know, profits need to come first. It's General Motors. It's not UNICEF. And I think, you know, we saw this, you know, like I mentioned with the Ford Pinto exploding, with the Toyota unintended accelerations, which, again, nothing with that could ever be fully pinned on Toyota knowing and hiding information. But it was still a major public relations problem for Toyota. And I think General Motors, who had been having a great comeback after being bailed out by the government, this is a really difficult time for them. This is a difficult story that they're going to have to handle. And it'll be interesting to see how their new CEO, you know, Mary Baer, the first female CEO of a major American car company, how she's going to handle it and how it ends up playing out.
Jamie Page Deaton, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jamie Page Deaton, managing editor at U.S. News Best Cars, which just released its list of the 2014 Best Cars for Families. We have a list. You can check it out for yourself. And as she said, many different categories to choose from. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. When you're listening to Word of Mouth and all the programming on New Hampshire Public Radio, please remember that it is made possible by you, directly through your feedback, your ideas, and of course, your financial support. We've come to know that the most interesting stories do get passed around by word of mouth. It's your support for New Hampshire Public Radio that helps us continue to explore things that people are talking about in ways that add context and accuracy and understanding, and that connect you to your neighbors, your state, and your world. Here's how you can help.